Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, it's summertime and everybody's so psyched to get outside, get exercise and fresh air and vitamin D. But when your kids are little, there are certain things you really, summertime is great, but there are safety concerns and you want to have fun in the sun while not worrying about sunburns and heat stress and all kinds of things that could be dangerous under the sun. My guest is one of our fan favorites here on Healthy Children, Dr. Corinne Cross. She's a pediatrician and spokesman for the AAP. Dr. Cross, fun in the sun. Let's start with our little babes under 6 months of age. We want to take them walking. We want to take them in their little strollers and take them to the park and, you know, just sit out at the beach with them. But what do we do to protect them? I mean, they're not going anywhere, so we still have to protect them in the sun.
Basically, the rule is babies under 6 months, we want to try to cover them with shade instead of using sunscreen. However, you know, you do always have those families who are saying, well, we're going to Hawaii or we're going on vacation, and I really just can't keep them in the shade all the time because I don't have that much control when we're on vacation. Little babies still can use a teeny bit of sunscreen if you can't cover them, but we should be thinking about covering them. So you want to make sure they have those hats on. You want to make sure that they actually have lightweight clothing on. So that's covering them down to their wrists, down to their ankles, that sort of stuff. You can also get these great, if your stroller doesn't have a good sunshade, you can just put them right on top. You just tie them on. They're these big protective covering. So you want to think about canopies or stroller umbrellas, that sort of thing. And when you're sitting down and having your little lunch with your baby or whatever, you want to do it under a tree. You want to make sure that you're just constantly thinking about shade. And you also want to look at the clothes you're putting on your child. So, I mean, we all know about these UPF clothing now, ultraviolet protection factor clothing, right? You see it in the swimsuits and everything. So if you're putting on something that's, you know, very loosely, has a loose weave to it, the sun's going to go through that. If you put on something with a tighter weave, it's not. But you can also get, particularly for babies, there's UPF swimsuits and rash guards. That really is what I would recommend if you're going to be taking your kid out into the pool or you're going to be holding them in the ocean with you. You want them to be covered.
And there are some really great clothing these days, but then I worry about the kids getting too hot. How do we, with our little babies, you mentioned the shade, but we also have to keep a watch on them. I saw somebody running the other day, and it was like 95 degrees, and the little kid was sitting in the front of the stroller, absolutely head lolling to one side, cheeks all bright red, and the mom's just running along, and I'm like, you know, should we be watching these kids for signs of heat stress? Or, you know, with our older kids, we can sort of hear from them, but the little guys, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, it's great if you want to take your kid out when you're going for a jog, but yes, in this hot weather in particular, you need to make sure that you have one of those giant canopies over the stroller. And then, yeah, I mean, if you're out and you're getting really hot, I mean, granted, you're exercising, that baby, though, it might be too hot for that baby as well. And they can't necessarily drink when they want to drink. They don't have a way of making sure they're not dehydrated. So taking your baby out for, like, if it's, you know, 90 degrees out for, you know, a 20, 30-minute jog, that might not be the best idea. It might be better than to move your exercise indoors because that's a lot of heat and the kids can get dehydrated.
This time of year, it's hard to avoid getting sick, whether it's a common cold or the stomach bug. It's crucial to stay well hydrated. Hydralyte is a great-tasting clinical hydration product that contains the correct balance of sodium, glucose, and water to rapidly replace fluids and electrolytes. Hydralyte comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade, and is available as a pre-mixed drink, a powder, or effervescent tablets that you can simply drop into a glass or a bottle of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydralyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Hydralyte solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydralyte in the digestive aisle at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. Visit Hydralyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. That's Hydralyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. Healthy Children is also brought to you by Green Chef. Green Chef is the first USDA-certified organic meal kit delivery service. Green Chef sends premium organic ingredients and imaginative new recipes every week. Meal plans include paleo, vegan, vegetarian, keto, gluten-free, omnivore, and carnivore. In fact, I made the herb-crusted cod endive salad with pickled beets and orange and lentils. My family loved the flavor. The pickled beets were so good, we ate them all. The recipes were easy to follow, and my whole family got involved. Green Chef expert chefs design recipes with gourmet flavor you typically only find in restaurants. So let Green Chef do the meal planning, grocery shopping, and most of the prep for you week after week. With Green Chef's premium organic ingredients, you can feel great about what you're eating and how it got to your table. For $50 off your first box of Green Chef, go to greenchef.us/healthychildren. Once again, for $50 off your first box of Green Chef, go to greenchef.us/healthychildren. We'll talk a little bit more about heat, stress, and how to recognize some of these things. But for our other children, when they're, you know, past 6 or 8 months or even a year old, then they start running around and they go to the park and we're going to the beach and the pool, as you say. So what do we do? Because when they're littler, Dr. Cross, when they're like 2, 3, racing around with sunscreen is not always the easiest thing to get them to put on.
Right. So, I mean, basically, my take on sunscreen is the best sunscreen is the sunscreen you will use. So everybody will tell you this one's better than that one. If you're not going to put it on because it's too hard or it feels too greasy or it's too difficult to put on your child, that's not the best sunscreen for you. If you buy the sunscreen wipes because they're easy to put on, but then they're so expensive you don't want to do it unless it's a really sunny day, not the best sunscreen for you. So basically, there's two different types of sunscreens. There's physical barriers and there's chemical barriers. Your physical barriers have zinc oxide or titanium dioxide in them. And those are the ones that, you know, the zinc is the white stuff that you would put under your cheeks or on your nose.
Like the lifeguards always used to have, yeah.
Exactly. So those are the ones, so they're physical barriers. When you rub them in, you're definitely more pasty, chalky white, but they reflect the sun back, and that's why they are physical barriers. Those tend to be the ones in the baby sunscreens. Chemical barriers are the ones where you absorb them and they react with the sun. But those are the ones that come more in the sprays. Now, there are physical barrier sprays, but for the most part, that's how it is. There are pros and cons to each, right? The sticks are great because you can avoid getting them in your eyes. A lot of times the kids like to put them on, but you need to rub wherever you didn't get the stick in, and you can't use a stick on your whole body. The lotions are kind of messy, and a lot of kids don't like to stand there while you rub it in. The spray is so much easier, but you have to make sure they're not talking or screaming because you don't want them to inhale the chemicals, right? They make these great wipes, which I loved when my kids were small because one wipe could do their whole body, but they're expensive. They're like, you know, 75 cents a wipe. So, like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So you want to figure out something that works for your family, and then you want to make sure you have it in your purse, in your diaper bag, in your stroller, in the car. So basically, I just buy a bunch, and I put it every place, so it's in every car door. So we always have, for us, we use the spray, which my kids know to close their face, and I never spray their face.
Yeah,
they
me
close their
too.
Face when
me
I,
too.
I'm like, close your whole face, your eyes, your mouth, everything. Close your face. I'm going to spray you from basically like the shoulders down, and then they do the stick on the rest. And we just line up in the morning and we do it. We actually do it before we put their clothes on because I like to know that they have it because things move. They change their outfits. So we put it before we go to camp. And then I send it with them so that they reapply at camp. And they know to reapply after swimming and, you know, always at lunchtime.
Yes. Yeah, so and now I've noticed with my teenagers, now they actually care. And I mean, while getting teenagers to put on sunscreen, the only way to do that is not to talk about skin cancer. It's to appeal to their vanity, of course, because they're not thinking skin cancer. But if you tell them it's going to give them wrinkles and dark spots, well, then they're certainly more involved. And maybe they don't want a sunburn because that could bubble up. And they don't want that either. And I tell them it could cause scars. So it's easier once they get a little older and you can appeal to these things to get them to put that sunblock on their face and on their shoulders and all those spots. But the little guys, as you say, you know, that spray is really the best thing invented because, boy, you can cover a lot of area pretty mm-hmm. quickly, you know. So now kids
now,
are running around.
The other thing I always, oh, not to interrupt.
No, no,
the other thing
go
I
on.
Always send my kids to camp with is a hat and B, sunglasses. Because what we don't realize is that their little eyes are more susceptible to UV damage than we are. So you want to make sure you get in the habit of saying, you know what, you guys are going out bike riding around town. take a pair of sunglasses. And so that's another thing. It's just hat, sunglasses, sunscreen. It just has to start being something that they do just, you know, all three all the time.
I'm glad you said that because, you know, you see parents at the beach wearing their sunglasses and the kids running around without them. And really, their little eyes, as you say, are so subject to burning. Now, if whether they are a teen or a little guy, they get sunburned, you are a pediatrician. What do we do? And when is sunburn something that you say, you know what, I'm going to call the pediatrician about this. But what do we do? Do we use aloe creams? What do we do?
Yeah, aloe creams are great. Basically, you want to make sure that they don't go in the sun the next day, right? So making sure you don't burn on top of it is important. But yeah, taking it off, you can put like a cool washcloth on. The aloe creams are great. If they are having really bad pain and blistering, or if they start to have a fever, that's when you contact your pediatrician. Usually the blistering is when we get the calls because parents start to get a little bit nervous. And, you know, there are creams that can help with really severe burns. But, you know, when they're red, you want to make sure that they're not going into the sun the next day, that you're covering that spot up. And something I just want to touch on, we talked a little bit about the clothing, but a basic T-shirt provides a UPF, a factor of 9. Once it gets wet, that's a factor of 5. So,
oh, wow.
You know, it really is different, whereas you think about those T-shirts that they can swim in, and those are like 30 or higher. If they get burnt at the beach and you're still going to the beach the next day, that's a day where they have to wear the rash guard because that's the only thing that's going to protect them.
So, so important to know about that stuff because people, you know, don't even really realize how much you have to keep reapplying. And, you know, things like hats and sunglasses and shade and all that. Now, what about heat stress and those kinds of things? We worry about it. We mentioned it a little with infants. But speak about heat stress and how we should identify it. And if our kids are at sports camp, if our kids are at these things and they're doing it outside, what are we looking for?
So you want to make sure when you pick a sports camp for your kids that you actually ask them, are they allowed to take water breaks, right? What do the coaches expect? Because even by asking them, you're putting it in the coach's head, like, I'm a parent who is going to be on top of this. I expect you to have regularly scheduled water breaks. I don't expect you to punish the kids by making them run, you know, until they throw up. Like, this is something that I think used to happen a lot more than it does today, but I still think that it's important as a parent to make sure that you're talking to the people who you're leaving your kids with and make sure that they're on board, that they need to have regularly scheduled water breaks, that if you start feeling nauseous, having headaches, you're starting to have muscle cramps, these are all signs that things can be going seriously wrong, that you might be getting overheated, and you need to stop, you need to get in some shade, and you need to get some water. That's called heat exhaustion, right? And so that can be just dealt with by getting the kids some water, getting them in some shade, and stopping the activity for a while. Once you start having the hot, flushed, dry skin, right? Now you've stopped your sweating. You've gone past that point. You have a rapid heart rate, right? So once you go from sweating to not sweating, that's really bad, right? Then maybe you go the whole day and you haven't gone to the bathroom, you're not peeing, right? Sometimes they have blood in their urine, like their body temperature starts to increase. That's what we call heat stroke. You want to never get to that point because that's horrible. That can cause confusion, that can cause delirium, loss of consciousness.
And that's an emergent condition, right? I mean,
that's
a 911
right.
call or
that's
getting your kid.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. You're in the ambulance at that point. But you want to make sure you catch it way before it gets to that. So basically, you start having muscle cramps, headaches, and nausea, right? That's it. You're done. You're sitting in the shade. You're drinking some water, and you're not doing that activity anymore. And that's even if it's football camp. They have to follow these rules because you don't want the kids overheating.
No, you definitely don't. So what haven't we talked about? We've talked about heat stress and heat exhaustion and sun protection. And, you know, we've done previous segments on water safety and such. So what haven't we covered, Dr. Cross, that you want parents to know about safety in the sun but having fun with their kids?
Well, I would say on the sun safety, that we know that the sun rays are strongest between 10 and 4, that we need to put the sunblock on at least 15 to half an hour minutes before we're out there, that there's really no point in getting stuff above SPF 50, but it makes everybody feel good, so that's not a bad thing. So that would be our sun safety, what we didn't talk about. I mean, the other thing is that you can burn through windows and on cloudy days, so you want to make sure that you're always wearing sunblock, and it's just a good habit to get into. Sun and fun summer safety things is never, kids don't swim alone. They always have a buddy. It doesn't matter how good a swimmer you are, you should always have a buddy when you're swimming. And it's not because you're not a great swimmer, it's because things can happen. You can hit your head when you're jumping in and doing some sort of funny cannonball and you twist the wrong way. You just need to have a buddy. And that needs to be just something that parents always say. If you're going swimming, you're going swimming with a buddy. And when you're at the beach, you need to make sure that your kids know that even if they're a teenager, there's permission to enter the water. Somebody needs to know you're in there because things can happen, riptides can happen, and even if you're a great swimmer, somebody needs to know that you're in there. And that's something I do even as an adult. I don't even love to go out paddleboarding by myself because I don't like it when somebody doesn't know that I'm in there.
And we forgot one really important thing as far as heat stress and exhaustion is the car. And keeping your phone in the back seat of the car so you remember to check for your kids, not leaving kids or pets for that matter, in a heated car. So give us a little speak about that.
Absolutely. So car temperatures, we all have seen it on the news, they can increase dramatically once you turn the car off, and kids can die in the back seat of the car. And honestly, parents can be so just overwhelmed, distracted, getting a phone call when they're getting out that they don't even realize that they've left the child there. So I love the idea of either putting your purse or your phone or something. Even now, I guess you could put your keys in the back of the car since they don't always start the car. So you can do all sorts of things to make sure that you remember to check the back seat when you get out. And even if you're just running in to pick up a prescription, pick up a pizza, it is too hot out there to leave your kid in a car. So it's just something you cannot do. You have to take them in.
Absolutely. It is so, so important. And if you're a parent and you're somewhere and you see a little kid sitting in a car and nobody around, you know what? It's not a terrible thing. You might save that child's life to call the police or the store that you're at and make sure that somebody knows and somebody comes out and gets this child.
Because the truth is, most of the time,
they
really just forgot.
Yeah. And I've done it before. I've seen a little kid just in the 10-minute parking at like a Walgreens, and I've just stood there for a few minutes going, okay, I'm not going to watch this child have this. And I called 911 and had the police there. And so, I mean, you can't be afraid to do that, because even if they just think I'm just running in for whatever, you know, that temperature in the car rises fast, and the same with pets. So thank you so much, Dr. Cross, for being with us. It's always great to have you on, and we enjoy it so much. And remember, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, and you can listen to us on iHeartRadio and TuneIn and Stitcher, and get involved, because that way we all learn from these experts together. And these experts are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. So, I mean, you're getting it straight from the pediatrician's mouth right here on Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening. Stay well.